Kaya Biz with Kgoletho Mfuphi on Kaya 959.
As in previous years, we've seen South Africa get to the top spot in the APSA African Financial Markets Index. And this is due to the strength and depth of its financial markets and the effective legislation that boosts investment potential. To tell us a little bit more about the APSA African Financial Markets Index, we're joined by Anthony Curry, who is the head of markets at APSA Bank Kenya. Anthony, thank you so much for your time. Talk to me about the background behind the APSA African Financial Markets Index. What are you trying to understand here?
Sure, thank you, and good evening. So the APSA Africa Financial Markets Index is a report that we prepare annually. It is prepared by OMFIF, who are the Official Monetary and Financial Institutions Forum, and they're an independent think tank for central banks, economic policy, and public investment. And they provide a platform for best practice in worldwide public and private sector exchanges. And the idea behind the index is that it measures financial market development in 23 countries from across the African continent, highlighting economies with the most supportive environment for effective markets. And typically, this is measured across six different pillars. And the six pillars are market depth, access to foreign exchange, market transparency, tax and regulatory environment, the capacity of local investors, the macroeconomic opportunity, and legality and enforceability of standard financial market master agreements. And that essentially is how the index works, with the aim of trying to show how economies can improve their market framework to bolster investor access and sustainable growth.
In terms of the data, where do you get the data from in order to put the index together?
So the data is collated from conversations we have with regulators in country, participants, intermediaries across the various countries. So this year we talked to about 50 different regulators, institutions, individuals across the continent. We also source data from the IMF, the World Bank, various country reports, as well as from the interviews that we conduct with key regulators in each of the markets and the market participants as well.
All right. So what does the data show for this particular year, especially as it relates to the six pillars that you mentioned?
Yeah, so it's interesting to see from what we saw this year is we continue to see South Africa, Mauritius and Nigeria being the top countries. Although their scores did slip overall, what is good to see this year is we've seen some new additions to the top five. So Ghana and Uganda entered the top five for the first time, both earning points for progress on pillar six, which really speaks to the enforceability of standard master agreements. It's notable that this year that 19 out of the 23 countries actually scored lower. And this is largely because of a decline and reflects the sort of difficult market conditions we saw across our markets in the midst of a global pandemic. But there are also some methodological changes in the inclusion of environmental, social and governance indicators in the index, which we felt was important as a lot of the countries are only starting to develop these frameworks and there's increasing focus on this as we're seeing across the world and indeed on the continent, as we did see 13 countries in the index have ESG-focused policies as part of their financial markets policies and guidelines as stipulated by the local regulators.
When it comes to the countries that have done well in terms of their scoring, does the index or do the institutions that provide that information give an indication as to what were the factors that allowed these countries to do well?
Yeah, so I mean, from the index, we're able to gauge as to what are some of the things that have supported the countries to do well and move up on the index. So if I take, for example, Uganda, which did particularly well on pillar six, and as I mentioned, has moved into the top five, there are very deliberate actions that we saw the regulator take, such as enacting the National Payment Systems Act, towards the end of 2020. And this law includes a dedicated section on collateral arrangements, including the enforceability of closeout netting provisions. And this is key for counterparty transactions and giving intermediaries, market and financial market intermediaries, confidence in transacting with counterparties, knowing that the law and the legal framework in Uganda will enforce these contracts and will recognize master agreements such as ISDAs and global master repurchase agreements, which are essential as part of global practice and the efficient working and operation of financial markets. So it's measures and deliberate actions taken by countries across these markets that we take note of in the index and will drive scoring and performance across the different pillars.
On that note then, on the flip side, I suppose, at the bottom of the list, there were countries that got such a dismal score that very few investors and businesses would consider doing business there. Which are those countries, and in what, I suppose, pillars did they score badly?
I guess the important thing to first highlight is the index is not about, you know, which countries are growing fastest or where the financial returns are highest or which countries are perhaps more competitive. But it's more about mapping out the financial market ecosystem across the continent and encouraging, through dialogue and benchmarking of our various countries, effective financial market development that will ensure Africa is best able to attract global capital, as well as develop local sources of capital and that domestic markets as well. And really, it's a conversation with the various Africa regulators and policymakers to allow them and encourage them to kind of benchmark and develop ecosystems that are characterized by openness, transparency, and accessibility. And this we see as key to supporting Africa to recover in a sort of pre and post pandemic world, and indeed support growth across the continent. So I think I would emphasize that more than necessarily see it as an indication of perhaps countries that are less worthy of investment.
Right. We touched a little bit on South Africa. How did Kenya do when it comes to the index?
So Kenya was recognized in particular for the performance against the ESG metric. So Kenya actually scored highest with Morocco in terms of availability of ESG products. Interestingly enough, the two countries were ahead of South Africa in that respect. But South Africa also took a lead as a metric also looks at in terms of legislation and frameworks and guidelines given to market participants around developing ESG products, which is seen as significantly more developed. So I think that was also a key factor in how Kenya performed. The other thing that we took into consideration as part of what we talk about is some of the efforts that regulators are making to build their markets for the future. So in Kenya in particular, we saw that the central bank is developing the CSD, the system and platform they use for government securities. And this will be key to allowing the repo market to develop in Kenya and will allow for a true OTC two-way trading market, which will be important for seeing how Kenya will perform in successive years in pillars like market depth, and the sophistication of local investors, pillar four, the capacity of local investors, which will be largely driven by the liquidity we see, particularly in the securities markets in Kenya.
All right, Anthony, thank you so much for your time. That is Anthony Karui, who is the head of markets at Absa Bank Kenya. He's also the head of Africa Regional Operations, talking to us about the Absa African Financial Markets Index.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959. On the streets, on the air.